Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, intuitive energy healer, medium, and author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, universal healing, and finding the power of your intuition or soul being within. In today's show, I am delighted to welcome Sherianna Boyle, a former guest on the show, who is returning today to discuss her newest book, Mantras Made Easy. Hello, Sherianna, and thank you for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
You remember, Sherianna, as listeners of the show are well aware, my guests and I share our experiences as we search to understand our dual nature as both spiritual and physical beings who explore our humanness as well as the divine source of wisdom that is known as intuition, love, and the harmony of universal energy. For it is, I believe, in knowing we are more than our physical bodies that we remember once again our personal power within and actually begin to create or manifest prosperity, health, and happiness in the world. In today's episode of Healing From Within, Sherianna Boyle, author of 6 books and an adjunct psychology professor, seasoned yoga, meditation instructor, energy therapy practitioner, and mother of 3 daughters, and I also came from 3 sisters, the same type of family that you have, will share an understanding of the ancient process of using mantras as a way to go within and create new states of higher consciousness, awareness, and balance. Sherianna, I often ask my guests to think back to an earlier time in their life, which may have been a precursor for the values and lifestyle they are living now. So is there an experience or moment when you knew you would need to explore your soul life and journey into a metaphysical view of life and energy? This is different than the question I asked you on the other show we did. Just a little different.
It is a moment in my life. Well, I honestly think that that's how the mantra book came for me. I know that's not that long ago, but I do feel that there was a real spiritual message happening for me. A couple years prior to writing the book, I actually was offered a sacred statue of, and someone contacted me and said that they had acquired the statue and they wanted to know if I'd be interested in purchasing it. And I don't really buy things like that. The statue wasn't a statue I didn't really know anything about the statue, to be honest with you. And then I soon would ask some questions and I said, you know, maybe I will. Maybe I just felt drawn to it. So I bought the sacred statue.
Sherianna, what was it a statue of?
It's the statue of the Black Jambala.
Oh.
Now, the Black Jambala was a disciple of Buddha.
Interesting.
Yeah, I know. That's why. I love Jesus and Mary. I mean, I'm always drawn to them, but this one was very, very different. And
well, you know,
so
all these spiritual masters share the same universal energy and message of our soul being here in this physical life to up our vibration and the energy of our soul essence so that we can help the world expand and the universe because we're all interconnected. So I don't think it's unusual that this statue came to you. And you said yes. So tell us more about it.
I did say yes. And honestly, I had to dip into my savings to say yes. It wasn't a little purchase.
So your intuition told you this was something that would be helpful to you in your work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I did. What I didn't know at the time, so I purchased the statue, and then after I purchased it, they said, you know, this statue comes with rituals. Mm-hmm. And it has been in a temple for 100 years in Tibet, and it's had mantras that have been recited around it. And the mantras, the purpose of the mantra is to really preserve the teachings of Buddha, to preserve the teachings of compassion. And so according to what I was told is that the Black Jambala was one of the disciples of Buddha that protected him because people wanted to harm him because people were afraid of his teachings. They were afraid that it was outside of what they believed, and they saw it as a threat. So the Black Jambala protected Buddha and as a result was harmed, and Buddha's request was please chant for the Black Jambala so that he is relieved from further suffering karmically in life. So I said, okay. And so since then, I get up every day and I recite these mantras for the Black Jambala. And that's how my mantra practice began. And it's 108 mantras a day is what I recite. And
Sharianna, that's why you wrote such a good book. The book is clear. The book is will be able for lay people to actually understand in a simplified way how to bring this into their everyday life. And it will raise their vibration. It will bring them more into a give-and-take flow with universal energy and help them create what they want. You can't do it without effort. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you pray one time, you know, or you eat dinner one day. But it is a process of consistency and growth, and you're taken to higher levels of awareness. And it's beautiful that you wrote a book that's so clear, so well defined about mantras.
Thank you.
And affirmations, which many people use the terms, but they don't know really what they mean
they
exactly.
Don't. So I'm doing these mantras, and what I didn't know, and this is the second half of the story, when you say what in your life, the spiritual, being spiritually guided, what I didn't know is I had been practicing the mantras, and I committed to the practice, and started to write the book, started to really research how mantras are effective, what are their history, and just gained such an appreciation of where this all stems from, and the roots, and the sacredness, and the way these mantras, the Sanskrit ones in particular, the way they were held for us, families took care of them and guarded them so that we could have access to them. And so that occurs. I publish the book, and then literally 6 weeks later, our family experienced a really tough tragedy, really tough.
I'm sorry to hear that,
Yeah, and it was just one of those tragedies that affects all five of us in our family. And I will tell you, I didn't recognize myself and how I handled this tragedy. If someone told me I was going to go through what I went through and then I was going to have to support my children through what happened, I never ever would have pictured myself handling it as well as I did. And I know it was because I did the work and spirit prepared you.
And spirit put the whole process forward to help you, actually, to be well prepared for whatever it is that you had to go through. And I think you did a great job with the book. And let's go on to explain for our listeners, in all your books, you point out many different tools and strategies. And I know you just wrote this entire book on mantras. Partially now I know why you did it, because of this statue that you were guided to have work with you to help you understand the value and importance of the consistency in actually what we're doing is connecting to the universe through a mantra, a prayer, an affirmation. It's an opening up of our whole energy system to connect more fully, and it's the only way that we can raise our consciousness and achieve more functionality and happiness and joy in this physical world we're living in. But let's go on. Tell us something. Exactly what is a mantra? People may think they know, but you tell us, what is a mantra?
Well, a mantra is actually a sound, a syllable, or a phrase that is repeated. So it doesn't have to be an entire word. It can be simply the sound of taking a breath and saying "ah" out loud, and that sound is vibration. It creates the sound. You know, the molecules travel through the air and they could travel throughout our body, and we receive the vibration because we're about 80% to 90% water, and then the air around us. And that's how these molecules vibrate. So certain sounds we know have been calibrated to certain frequencies. And so the Sanskrit mantras really have put together certain letters and sounds, and that what they do is they correspond to certain areas of the body, certain glands, certain muscles, organs, all of that. And now we know that mantras exist in our everyday language. It's really whatever we choose to repeat and we choose to focus on. But here's the thing, and this is where I think we have to really watch ourselves and the difference between an affirmation and a mantra. Sometimes we recite affirmations, which came from the roots of psychology. Mantras roots came from spirituality. So there's a difference. It's not that one is better than the other. It's just their histories are very different. And sometimes the way we use them is different. And we might use an affirmation because we want to get something or we want something to happen or to change in our lives. Mantras, as I found out when I had, as I have this relationship with this sacred guide,
right.
That it's mantras, and this is what I would soon learn in my research, is mantras are about having a relationship with the mantra and really feeling and getting to know the vibration. So it is, it's a live consciousness frequency. You're not making it happen. It's already there. You're just tapping.
You're tapping into it. You're tapping into
a frequency that already exists. But because mantras have been around for so long, it's really we can give great gratitude to those that have already started. So when I chant this chant for the Black Jambala, I am really picking up from all these people that have already done this chant. So I'm just joining that wave, that current. And it makes it stronger and stronger. So that's the difference between a mantra and an affirmation is it really is that space of non-effort and that space of feeling. And here's the other thing. If you select a certain mantra, particularly if it's Sanskrit, it must be practiced for at least 40 days.
So it becomes ingrained as a pattern. Yeah.
A pattern. Yes, and to really get that energy running and solid and permanent in your system, you really want to, it's a 40-day practice. So I'd rather see someone pick one mantra and work with that than try to do them all. You know, see them all over the place.
No, we don't have to do them all.
Right.
You've seen people when they're upset about something, very often they will start to repeat something that is valuable to them, like all is well, all is well, all is well.
Mm-hmm.
And it sets up a vibration. It lowers the anxiety and physical energy into the ground, grounding you, and also allowing spirit and the guides to surround you and help you in whatever way you need at that time. You know, what we're talking about here is making a connection to higher souls and guides and teachers.
Right.
You did it with this sacred statue. It was an opening for you to learn more about what they wanted you, what your life plan was about, and what you were ready to work on at this time. And that's why you received the offer to purchase it, and you also said yes, because it's all about timing and following what's right for us. When we're on our path and we're open to all the possibilities of the divine supporting us, spirit and souls. When we're aware of our duality, then we're able to function in both worlds in such a wonderfully positive way and to create so much good for ourselves and for others that we're connected to. So that's a beautiful thing. Now let's go on.
Absolutely.
Just let's give our listeners a little bit about the history of mantras. You mentioned many important people. I loved reading about the German authors, Vozar and Franz Bludorf. And then there was also Thomas Ashley Farad.
Yeah, yes.
Tell us something about the history.
Yeah, he contributed a great deal, and he's crossed over now. He's no longer. So I really felt a connection with him, honestly, when I was writing the book. I felt like I was
helping you.
Yeah, I really did. And I really was wanting to keep this, to preserve it as much as I could, with also keeping it under the mantras made easy concept, because it can be really overwhelming for people, and some people get uncomfortable with Sanskrit and all that. So the history, once again, the Sanskrit ones are thousands and thousands of years old. They were hidden family to family. So one family might be in charge of one mantra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they would keep that, they would write that mantra on a palm leaf. This is 3,000 years ago.
That's what they had. So that's what they used.
That's what they had. And when that palm leaf became crinkled, they would get it on a new palm leaf. And then eventually, over time, these would be translated. They would be kept on paper. They would be translated orally. But it was really, you had to earn, you know, similar to yoga, the way yoga started, the whole practice. It was never these big classes and all that. It was really that one-to-one guru. And it's similar to mantras, only it was families that they protected them for us. And then the ones in our own language, you know, the ones from the Bible.
Yes, there's mantras in the Bible. And from India and Tibet and in Greek and Latin. But you know what?
Whatever language.
So mantras,
right? I mean, just so,
aren't mantras one of the most ancient mind and body practices, actually?
They're in every religion. They're in every religion. I mean, just the word amen or amen is a mantra, you know, and it means so be it. So be it. Amen. I mean, one of my favorite mantras is thy will be done.
Yes,
I will be done.
I love that one too. Yeah.
And when you recite Sanskrit and you repeat Sanskrit, I mean, there's something about that vibration.
And it's imprinted into your energy. It becomes part of you.
That's right.
Again, it raises your vibration. Now, you know, when I first started doing this work, and my teachers along the way would talk about a vibration, I used to think of it like a hula hoop. Just get it spinning around me and let me keep it going. So now we can get on to talk about how mantras relate to the energy or chakra system of our bodies, because those are the energy points. And they are wheels of light like a hula hoop. And how important an understanding of this is for our health and well-being. So mantras work along with energy work. You know, I'm a Reiki energy practitioner, and that's what I work with. So tell us a little bit about that. I think Ashley Farrand discussed how the Sanskrit mantras are tailor-made to support the human energetic system. So tell us
something about that. Well, I mean, there's some basic seed sounds that I discuss in the book, and the seed sounds really correspond to every single chakra. People who have practiced yoga might have been introduced to them, but even the sound, for example, I teach at a college, and I teach psychology, but I also teach yoga there for course credit, and we were working just the other day with the sound H-A-M, which is hum, and that sound vibrates in the throat area, which is the throat chakra. And honestly, the focus of this, the practice that I've been doing really for the last week with many, many students, is really releasing all of the early on in our lives when we start to hold back our own energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we hold back, and it's usually what my guidance have told me is it's around age 9, because we're entering that pre-adolescent period in our lives where we are looking to fit in, we're looking to belong, we're sizing each other up. That all begins, it's normal, healthy development. However, when these patterns take root and we never give them a chance to move, like you said, that hula hoop, then we can keep running that in our lives. We can keep running those patterns, these energetic
right.
patterns of seeking approval from outside of ourselves, and it doesn't last. I mean, if anyone, and we've all experienced where we're, you know, I'm at a college, so they're always seeking to do better, seeking to get the good grade, but then it's fleeting. It doesn't ever take root.
That is the point of spirituality, to have a constant
right.
practice. And I say to my students, when they study Reiki at the beginning, they have to do self-treatment for 21 days. You just mentioned 40 days, because it mm-hmm. is trying to get us to be in a pattern that will work consistently with releasing these patterns of our childhood and everyday life, so that we can be in this higher vibrational state and closer and aligned to spirit, so we can be healthier and more functional in the world. But you mentioned in the book that many spiritual leaders, priests, monks, mentors, therapists, and yogis, they tap into mantras as a way to live, and this is very important, and spread the principles of love and compassion that their teachers gave them. So mantras are the way to keep this flow of truth about who we are, where we come from, and how life is constantly changing. In my book, in learning to incorporate energy-related exercises into our life, we increase our ability to remember who we are and deal with this physical life in a more competent way. So in my book, The Living Spirit, I address the thought that you addressed about the spiritual teachers and the consistency of our practice, and I did it this way. There are several types of energy healing. Some, like Reiki and acupuncture, have been around for thousands of years. Others have been developed more recently. Their methods may differ, as well as certain aspects of ideology, but they all operate on one basic premise. There is more to us than our physical bodies. Energy sessions, mantras, all the different forms of relating to spirit and raising our vibration focus on the life force, or ki, or chi, that flows within all living things, and the goal being to release, dissolve, or transmute negative feelings that block this force and cause imbalance and illness in the body. So what people have to realize is these tools have to be used consistently, and people will feel so good. I mean, before a show, I do what you wrote in your book. Before talking on a show, I do that la 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 la, you know, with my tongue touching the roof of your mouth, right?
Right,
and I feel so relaxed and energized, right? And I laughed when I read that in your book that you said that was one way, and when I teach and I do an attunement to teach people Reiki 1, 2, 3 and master level, I have to hold my tongue in that position to transfer the maximum amounts of energy. So you see, it's all connected.
Interesting.
All connected.
Yeah, because you really are, like you mentioned, you're really clearing up the history, and whether it's karmically or past law, I mean, it's all of that, and in that simple sound. And when you tap the roof of your mouth, that's one of the ways what they're finding. This comes more from the Kundalini yoga practice.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They do a lot with chanting and mantras, is that tapping of the roof of the mouth is actually tapping into your hypothalamus in the brain, which is one of the areas of the brain that holds memory.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to loosen up any all that memory. And like yeah, you said, I love that hula hoop visualization.
I actually, when I started 20 years ago, I actually had no idea what they were talking about raising a vibration. I was a very material girl. You know, I was raised by methodical parents. And to me, when people would talk about this, though I may have had a sense in my heart that there was more and that I should be discovering more, I wasn't sure how to go about it, so I just functioned very well in work, you know, my family and with friends, and until I had some experiences that were undeniably mystical and from another dimension of life, and I had to say, there's much more to what's happening and unfolding in our lives. Nothing is random, and I have to discover what this spiritual communication is all about. So that set me off, and I've been on that journey, that beautiful journey. And for our listeners out there, I want you to know, once you start any of these practices, they will lead you to other people in different practices, and you'll keep learning and expanding, and life becomes so joyful to interact in this energy of compassion and love and the spiritual masters, whether it's Jesus or Buddha. They all had the same energy of the divine or spirit or God or source, and they all were here to help us while we're here in the physical world to remember, as you said, our spiritual oneness and unity to them and to know them. So just tell us quite briefly a few of the benefits of mantras. I think we were just tapping into that when we were talking how you feel.
You know, I feel like this prepared me for a very challenging time in our lives, and I'm seeing the benefits of that with our family. I feel that our family has grown stronger. There's more love. There's more presence. There's so many blessings.
There's more acceptance.
There's more acceptance and allowance
of the process, right?
It honestly, it's been like a big cleanse for everybody. And I feel like mantras have just been like this beautiful blanket that it has just wrapped us up, and we have risen through this. And that's one of the mantras in the book, is choosing to rise. And that was definitely meant to come to me, that mantra, choosing to rise. And really everything that I've always wanted, I'm writing another book now, is really happening. But it's been sort of allowing this energy to take root and committing to the practice and having that faith. Tremendous faith. As far as other ways that you can use...
By the way, Sherianne, that is a very important word that you just used, faith. Fate, yeah. F-A-T-E, we do have a fate, we do have a destiny, we do have a life plan. But faith is a trusting in your divine personal plan and the universal plan, and that you're supported by loved ones above and around you, and that there's nothing good or bad. There is only a flowing through the beauty of awakening and higher consciousness, and that's all there really is. And once you have that, no matter what difficulty, and we will all have difficulties in our physical life, no matter what it is, you'll be able to balance, ground, use these tools, and trust that we're very much more than our physical bodies. And life goes on beyond this place, this lifestyle, this planet, this physical life. And once you have that, you have everything. You have everything you need to succeed in this world and beyond. So I want to thank you, Sherianne Boyle, for sharing a complete, detailed historical view of mantras and the great tool that they can be for finding our calm, authentic nature and enjoying life more as a result of using meditation and mantras and energy healing sessions in our busy daily life. For more information, go to Sherianne Boyle, that's BOYLE.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have come to know more about using mantras as an important tool in clarifying our needs and understanding our feelings, always in the interest of truth and greater awareness for our well-being and for appreciation of life and ourselves and others. As Sherianna wrote, when practiced and applied effectively, mantras also give you the power to positively influence others through the personal transformation of yourself. Mantras Made Easy is a collection of mantras for all the ups and downs of daily living. Think of it as a trusted friend offering you just what you need to get through the particular situation you're experiencing. You'll find mantras to bring you happiness, peace, love, and healing, and mantras to help you overcome fear and anxiety. Sherianna and I would hope you begin to strive to simply be a happy human being. Of course, we must all deal with challenging moments, but ultimately, if we begin to know ourselves as the magnificent, dynamic soul beings we truly are, we will appreciate all of life, embracing this world as we walk more comfortably with peace and grace through each day. Embrace each higher, more illuminating thought as a message from Spirit guiding you towards a happy life. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to gather new ideas, tools, and ways to advance your personal growth and a greater understanding of this world in constant change right now and the universal laws of energy that can fuel our life force. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.